Once again, we want to welcome you to the Augusta Road Church of Christ. Visitors who are with us as our guests, thank you so much for being here and worshiping with us today. We are so thankful for your attendance. Members as well, we love having our members all here with us to worship together. I want to talk this morning about a passage that made up today's scripture reading, 1 John chapter 2. Verses 15 through 17, a very famous passage. If you have your Bibles handy, open to 1 John chapter 2. And everything that I will say this morning as a sermon point will come from this passage here. So you can follow along very, very easily, maybe even jot down some of the points that we're making right here from the passage. Just three simple ones. John says that we should not love the world, and I want to talk about why that is. Love not the world, he says, and when I read 1 John chapter 2, verses 15, 16, 17, I always like to make this point of John. It's called the Apostle of Love. So when the Apostle of Love is talking about not loving something, it kind of stands out to us a little bit. And here, John the Apostle of Love saying, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. We'll stop there. John talks to us about not loving this world. And reason number one is because what this world is, the world that he's talking about, what it is. John's not talking about the beautiful aesthetics of God's creation. For about the past week, I've been telling everybody who listens to me, I love this weather. I love this weather. And since the start of football season, I've been telling people, I love this time of year. It's okay to love these aspects of the world. The Bible lets us know in its first chapter, Genesis 1, that God made the world with exquisite detail, such that the heavens declare the glory of God, the Bible exclaims. The heavens declare God's glory, and whether they should, because in Genesis chapter 1, verse 31, the Bible lets us know that God's creation was not just good, but very good. So it's, of course, appropriate and even natural to look out at pretty scene in nature and feel moved to enjoy a beautiful sunset, to enjoy aspects of this world. This is a blessing of life. Even God, in the most famous verse of the Bible, John 3:16, even God loves this part of the world. God so loved the world. You remember it says there. So when John tells us not to love the world, he's clearly not talking about any of these things he's mentioned. Your children, your beautiful house, your vacation spot, your favorite season, your favorite type of weather. Love these things. Absolutely love these things. These are blessings from God. But the things that make up the world that John is talking to us about, well, there are three in particular. And he talks to us about them in verse 16. All that is in the world that John is talking to us about, the apostle of love is telling us not to love these things. Here's what he had in mind. The lust of flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. These are not from the Father, these are from the world. Careful Bible readers will notice that these three avenues of temptation, we sometimes call them, these have been a part of the Bible since its beginning. Genesis chapter 3 time, you remember when Adam and Eve were in the beautiful garden God made for them, and they were living daily in God's beauty and God's glory with regular communion with God, the likes of which we have to stretch our minds to imagine. It was there in that idyllic scene that the devil presents himself and tempts Eve, because that's all the devil does is tempt. And he tempted Eve with the love of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride or vainglory of life. These are his major tools. And that's what John is telling here, that we need to stay away from and not love. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, these are the ways that the devil manipulates us and tries to tempt us regularly. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, 2 Corinthians 4, 4, there's a neat expression there in that verse from the King James Version, which I'm using this morning, that describes Satan as the god of this world. I'd like to point out a few things about that expression. First, a little g is used on that word God, as well it should, because the devil is not a god like God is God. The devil is furthermore not called God because he should be worshipped. We should worship God, and we should worship God the way he wants us to worship him, and that's what we firmly believe here at the Augusta congregation. We worship God. We worship God the way he wants us to. He's explained to us how he wants us to worship him, and we should do that. Satan is not called God because anyone should worship him, because there's anything about him that is worthy of worship or praise. No, in 2 Corinthians 4, 4, the devil is called the god of this world because he is the one, sadly, that so many people do worship. So here in 1 John chapter 2, verses 15, 16, the Lord is letting us know through this apostle of love, John, that this part of the world we should not love. And we should not love it because of what it is. In John's own inspired words here, it is not godly, it is worldly. It's not from the Father, it's from the world. These things are opposite of God. These lusts that he goes into explanation of. These things that he cautions us to stay away from. These things make us less like God. And therefore, our lives, they should be unlovable. We should not have a strong yearning or draw to these. It's hard to live this life that John's describing for us, but we must do it, number one, and we can do it, number two. John talks to us about not loving the world because of what the world is. Major point number two here, John says, do not love the world because of what loving the world does. John talks to us and he says that loving the world removes the love of the Father from him. And again, in 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, love the world, neither the things that are in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Jesus famously made this observation, this statement. In Matthew 6:24, he says, "No man can serve two masters." It's impossible for us to serve two masters. Love one and love the other less, Jesus goes on to say in vernacular that we understand. He would love one, he'll love the other less. And so it is with our love for the world. If we love the world too much, can you imagine loving the world too much? I hope you can this morning, because there is a level of love and affinity for the world that's just too much, because we have to make sure that the Lord is put first in our lives. I was talking to a sweet grandmother once upon a time, and this is a while ago, and she was telling me about her lovely granddaughter, and she said, "Oh, her problem is she's too pretty." She's too pretty, Grandma said about granddaughter. Well, that was the problem with granddaughter. She was a sweet, pretty girl, but she was also a very loose moral character. Grandma, in her own sweet way, tried to explain away by saying she's just too pretty, and what the problem is. That's not what the problem was. Too pretty, too much. Can you imagine someone's love for the world being too much? I can.
I've been preaching for nearly 20 years, and I've seen people fall head over heels in love with the world too much. Their football teams, whom they love more than just about anything else. I used to preach in Tennessee, and people would make big trips out of going to football games. So it was a huge deal. It's a big deal everywhere. And they would, these football games were played on Saturdays. You know, I was in college football. And they would drive out sometimes Friday or Saturday morning. And they would come back home on Sunday morning. And almost in every instance, they would church when they did this. But they would placate their conscience by saying, "Oh, we could not make it. We were traveling. We were driving. You know, we were behind the wheel of a car, and that automatically exempts us from worshiping." I did my level best to reason with these sweet brethren whom I love, but who were definitely misguided in this area. You know, going to a football game Sunday morning, sitting down in the bleachers and watching a football game Sunday morning is one way miss church for football. But there are multiple ways missing church for football. Like, for example, if you go out of town for a football game, and you drive Sunday morning and you blow off church, that's another way of missing church for a football game. They love their football, and I love it too. But they loved it too much. How about that? They loved it more than loved the Lord. People may like to fish or hunt or take walks on the beach or hike in the woods. I'm not a huge fan of any of these things, but I get that some people are. And they may love doing that more than anything else. And I think that's the thing to be a little aware of, a little concerned with. Because love for the Lord needs to come first. We live a happy life that loves the Lord first. We don't fit the Lord into a life. Surely that's not the way you're thinking that you're going to live a successful spiritual life that pleases God. Fitting the Lord into your life? Okay, so this is what a lot of people do. They plan and plan and plan and plan, and they have calendars years worth, months in advance, years in advance, full of things that they're going to do, and then they find where they can fit God in. That's wrong. What we do is we fit our life. Fit our life in around our full-time service of the Lord. Look at Colossians chapter 3. First John chapter 2 is still home base for us, but we're going to flip over here to Colossians chapter 3, and we're going to notice what Paul says here in verse 1, Colossians 3, 1. If you are risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits at the right hand of God. Set your affection on the things above, not the things on the earth. Talking about what we love this morning. John says, do not love the world because of what the world is, because of what loving the world does. Paul is here talking to us in Colossians chapter 3, verse 2, again, Colossians 3, 2, that our affections, what we are expressive or emotive about, these things need to be on things above, not on things on the earth. And then look at it in verse 3, Colossians 3:3. It's real explicit here. For you are dead, and your life is hid in Christ with God. When Christ, who is our life, take a good, hard, close look at yourself. only you can do this. I know you have people in your life who love you, but the problem is they love you, and maybe there's a little bias involved. There's nothing wrong with being partial toward people whom you love, but every now and then we need to be very raw and very objective. This prodigal son, he had this moment of an epiphany when he left his father's house and wasted his inheritance on righteous living. The Bible famously declared that he came to himself. There was a minute in that whole ordeal where this prodigal son just stop and take an outsider's look at my life. That's what I want you to do right now. Now, take an outsider's look at your life and see if it kind of sort of lines up with Colossians 3, 1 through 4 here. Our affections are on things above, not on things on the earth. If you were not you, if you were somebody else looking at you, you describe yourself as a spiritually minded person. I can tell he loves the Lord. Do people you know say that about you? Are your affections on things above, not on things below? What do you spend most of your time talking about? Where you want to go on vacation? Not that there's anything wrong with that. Listen, we have our favorite vacation spots too. But what defines who you are? Because I've got news for you. Colossians 3, verses 3 and 4, it's not difficult to understand. Christ is our life. You are dead to yourself. Your life is now hid in Christ. Does that describe you? It definitely needs to. Definitely needs to. This is tough work, I admit. I know full well what I'm talking about this morning. It's not easy. We say simplistically, oh, we're in the world, but of the world. We say that, and it's kind of a motto for our living. But there are words that are hard to live up to. Truly being in the world, but not of the world, that's really doing something. And God bless you. If you are doing that, God bless you in your efforts to keep on doing that. James makes a statement for us in James chapter 4, verse 4, that just makes you sit up at night. It makes the hair back of your neck stand up. James says, friendship with the world is enmity with God. Wow. Friendship with the world is enmity with God. James didn't say, if you leave the Lord and you go all the way, whole hog into worldliness, then that's enmity with God. That's not what James said. James says, if you just kind of cozy up to the world, you just kind of try to be an acquaintance with the world, that is jeopardizing your relationship with God. Love not the world because of what the world is, because of what loving the world does. Love not the world because, number three, where the world's going. You see it here in verse 17, back at the base camp verse, 1 John 2, verse 17. The world passes away. This world is a dying world. One of these days, it will all be gone. One of these days, the football game that we can't wait to get home and watch today, one of these days, it'll all be gone. One of these days, our favorite vacation spot we plan our entire years around, one of these days, that place will be gone. But you know what will always be around? Your soul. And God's Word. Those are two things that aren't going anywhere. Your soul is here to stay. God's word is lasting forever. And one day, this world and everything in it will go up in smoke. But our soul and God's word will be left behind. And we will be judged by God's word. Live for that day. This world and everything in it is passing away. So don't put much stock into the things that are of this world. They won't last. Care instead about your soul and where it will spend eternity, because this world is not going to spend eternity anywhere, because this world is not going to last that long. Your soul, however, will spend eternity somewhere. Where will it be? If the Lord should come back tonight, where would that soul spend eternity? If the Lord should come back this afternoon, where would that soul spend eternity? If we can help you in any way this morning, obey God's plan for your life, it would be a blessing for us to be able to do so. We would love for you to hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized if you're ready to take those steps. If you want to instead study that more, we would love to set up a time to study those steps of salvation with you more. If you have already obeyed the gospel this morning, God bless you and continue to bless you in the daily quest of living for Him and live for ourselves. If you sin in your life that you need to repent of, as a loving family, we would like to encourage you to let us be a part of the solution. Let us help you. We gladly pray for you. We don't sit in judgment of anyone. We've all sinned and fallen short of God's glory. If you repent of sins this morning, we don't judge that. We've done that ourselves. We would love to be there to help out in any way we possibly can. While we stand and while we want you to come, please.
Thank you for listening to the Augusta Road Church of Christ. Located in Greenville, South Carolina, the Augusta Road congregation worships God in spirit and in truth in a friendly and loving environment. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter by searching for Augusta Road COC. And if you're ever in Greenville, South Carolina, we would love for you to come by for a visit.